Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Friday Filibuster. I am Dave Johnson, joined by Mac McIntyre.
I could do.
Daryl Loomis.
Hello, hello.
Eric Astroslager.
Hello.
And we are here to kill some time, or kill your weekend.
Kill your whole weekend.
Yeah, there's an excellent chance we will kill your entire weekend.
Gonna ruin that right
we'll
now.
Ruin that.
But no, rest of the show.
No promises. No promises about that. So let's dive right in. Mac, why don't you get us up to speed?
Yeah, you talked about it a little bit last weekend, but I want to follow up on Dread 3D.
Yes.
Kind of a mixed bag of a movie.
We talked a little bit about this. I think we kind of debriefed after the movie.
Right. There was some stuff I liked about it. I kind of liked the sort of gritty atmosphere. I like that it wasn't an origin story. The fact that the whole thing takes place over a single day made it something kind of different than the usual, you know, we have to save the whole city plotline and superhero flicks. So all that was good, but the thing is, it's like all hell never quite broke loose in the movie.
Yeah, well, you're always kind of like teetering, right?
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, Dredd goes to this floor, shoots this guy, plot point, then go up to another floor, you know, flashbang grenade that guy, plot point. And the movie just kind of progresses in that manner.
And it never, I mean, we had talked about it too, like the biggest and most dynamic action scene happened at the very beginning, I thought.
Right, there's a chase there with I was reading about Judge Dredd. I guess his motorcycle has a special name. I forget the name of it, but there's like the whole fan site's devoted to just the motorcycle.
Buddy? Is it Buddy?
I don't think so. That'd be awesome. Zabrigore.
Zabrigore, yes.
But yeah, the motorcycle chase is probably like, yeah, the biggest stunt piece in the whole movie.
Yeah.
And that's like right in the first 5 minutes.
I think that's a good point by you that it's not an origin story. And I think that can't be overstated because, I don't know. That is one big trope of comic book movies that I'm just tired of. The origin stories, you know, so it's nice that he comes kind of fully formed, but you're right. I just think, you know, I've honestly kind of forgotten about it, and it's a shame because I had high hopes for it, you know, but I think you're dead on. It's just there was never anything that really kind of blew you away, and all the action was limited to him, you know, gassing people and shooting them in the back, you know, so it's like, eh. So, yeah, I'm with you on that. Anything else?
I guess that's all. Let's see. And from the world of comics, there was a huge amount of hype a couple of months ago about Spider-Man getting his own teenage sidekick.
Yes.
Boy, that storyline just fizzled and died just so abruptly and randomly that I don't know what was going on.
It's got to be fan outcry, you think, right? Fan outcry?
I guess your editorial stepped in and said, no, I don't know. But in like the latest issue that came out, it's like the whole issue is devoted to Spider-Man stopping this plane crash from happening. And he does because he's the hero. And then in like the last two pages of the comic, just like out of nowhere, there's this wacky sci-fi thing that falls down from space, came from Terminus of all people, and they use it to take away all of Alpha's powers. Alpha is the psychic. They take away all his powers, and end of story. It happens in two pages. It's like all that hype, all that build-up, and now it's just, you know, two pages and it's done.
All right, so no big screen Alpha movie. That's what you're saying.
No, not. I mean, probably, you know, in 5 to 10 years, some other writer is going to try to bring the character back from obscurity, and who knows, maybe they'll do a good job with it then, but for now, I seriously doubt we'll see Alpha on the big screen.
I seriously thought you said big screen Alf movie, and I got excited. just subconsciously excited for a split second. That happened. My head, our heart rate went up.
Hey, speaking of Elf, Eric, I know you're
a
resident
Elf. Absolutely. What's that now?
You're a resident Elf expert, I know.
Why not? I watched the show when I was 6. Go ahead.
Did you see the series finale? I'd never seen it. I read up on it. Apparently, it's pretty dark, huh?
Well, the series ends with Alf about to board a spacecraft, and then he's surrounded by government officials.
Like the NASA types, right?
Yeah, basically. And then apparently that was sort of resolved with a TV movie that I've never seen.
Oh really? Yeah, Project Alf.
There you go, Project Alf. Yeah, I never saw Project Alf. So to me, it just ended with basically Alf being captured by, you know, Men in Black, and that was it.
And possibly tortured. Right?
Yeah.
You got it.
Before you go out for that final snack. Whatever.
You got to get on eBay, find the VHS, you know, dust off the VCR and see Project Alf. It resolves the whole thing.
If you had said you have to get on YouTube, I might have done it. Yeah, but
it might be on YouTube.
I don't even know if I have a VCR anymore.
I don't think it's on DVD. You got to find the old VHS copy.
I'm waiting for the Criterion Blu-ray.
Maybe in Bangkok you get on DVD somewhere.
Sure, of course.
Project Alpha appears to be on YouTube.
Oh, good.
Oh, sweet.
Oh, fantastic.
Good. And only
it looks
17
as classy
parts.
As the rest. Yeah, 10 parts it appears.
With a 2-minute commercial, you know. All right, well, thanks for the Alf digression. I don't even think about it. So, Daryl, how about you?
Not a lot in the world of TV and movies that I've seen recently, but I am looking forward for the first time since Skyrim to a video game coming out in XCOM Enemy Unknown.
Heard about it, know nothing about its history, or actually...
I used to play XCOM when I was, you know, early in college, alien strategy game. And this is basically, as it appears, a reboot of that, but with modern sensibilities. And I played the demo, and while simplistic, it's still a demo, and it looks like a lot of fun, and it comes out on Tuesday.
All right.
So I'm looking forward to that very highly. I assume I'm going to spend a couple hundred hours playing that thing.
Wow, excellent. That's the kind of productivity you like to hear on DVD Verdict.
Yes, indeed. So we'll just see how that pans out in its actuality. But my hope for it is very high.
All right, very good. Anything else?
No.
All right, Eric.
Not a whole lot. Got started watching some scary movies for October, Scary Movie Month, so I could participate in F This Movie's Scary Movie Challenge, said in word reviews. So.
What are you watching? What are you watching?
I've seen some random Netflix stuff, some of which is kind of weird and disturbing. Those are the ones you really want to stumble on.
That's
sure,
right. Yeah.
To Daryl, I'm sure they're just like, you know.
It's just what it is.
Stand around and let's see.
What'd you watch?
I watched one called Funny Games, which is a...
Funny Games is a really hard movie to watch.
Yeah, it's German... thriller, actually, it's weird because they don't show a whole lot, but it is really disturbing. This is
he made an American version of that too.
I read that after. It's the same. It sounds like it was a shot for shot remake, just kind of.
Yeah, it's the same thing. It's home invasion stuff doesn't really get me.
Yeah,
doesn't really do much for me. But you know, one thing about that is that it's kind of a dare to the audience. You know, can you sit and watch this?
Yikes. Yeah, and again, like, I was expecting to see much worse things than you actually see in it. I'm not saying I'm disappointed, but I mean, again, a lot of it's implied. Some terrible stuff happens, and there are some weird kind of like fourth wall breaking moments that are kind of bizarre. And like,
that's what I heard.
Kind of that. So it's on Netflix. If you are looking for something to watch and are willing to accept that dare, I think it's worth checking out.
Yeah, it's tough business, though.
Yeah, and then not on Netflix, I tracked down, kind of saw Rob Zombie's Halloween, which they've apparently reviewed. It's pretty bad.
I mean, it totally what I was just saying, origin story for a character whose very existence, you know, is best, you know, it's great because he doesn't have one. You know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they already dealt with the terrible origin story of Michael Myers in like Halloween 6.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, so it's not really worth anything.
Yeah, and the weird thing about that movie is that, you know, it purports to be, you know, exploration of like where evil began and all that stuff, but it really provides no answers. I mean, nothing, like almost nothing happens. They just like skip 15 years later and he's a psychopath and terrible things happen. And none of the people he murders at the end of the movie, like, none of the babysitters are actually that likable. Laurie's just annoying. I couldn't wait for her to die. So it's, having just seen Halloween 1 and 2, the originals, recently.
But Halloween still stands up. Still
absolutely. Does. I mean, Halloween, that's the thing. And when it comes out to, like, Halloween is still, like, by far, far and away the best of any of those movies.
Because because Rob Zombie's Halloween totally missed the point of the Halloween. You know what I mean? So absolutely. That was a remake, obviously, right? But it totally missed the point of why Halloween is so effective.
Yeah, I mean, he does some of his own things, but they're just not that interesting. And he switches it up for the second half, and it's just really felt pointless watching this.
Yeah. Oh, that's a different kind of horror.
So I'd rather recommend a disturbing German horror movie from the late 90s than a mainstream Rob Zombie movie.
Well, I'm just hoping that this movie does a Yo Gabba Gabba marathon or something so you don't have to subject yourselves.
You know, I have to say, just at the beginning of the month, and I'm going to stick with it for the whole month, but I remember last year around November 1st, I was just kind of drained. Like, I wanted to watch nothing but romantic comedies from that point. And I wasn't even, like, playing it hardcore. There are people who will only watch scary movies in October. I can't do that. But I watched enough that it was just like, I need some light in my life.
Yes, that's right. Nice. All right. Well, back to me. I guess I'll talk a little video game stuff as well since you opened the door, Daryl. We've been playing some Borderlands 2. Which is, you know, pretty awesome and a lot of fun co-op. But I actually got a great deal on a game I had been dreading to play for a long time just because the word of mouth is so bad. And it's a follow-up to probably one of my all-time favorite games ever. That's Ninja Gaiden 3. So I got it used somewhere for $13. So I figured $13, that's worth it. And I have to say, I'm enjoying it. And that's about it. It's probably the most unsurprising admittance thing I can do. So I don't know, it's just ninja swords and pile drivers in the midair, and that's all that I need. So, and I think that's, I'm trying to think of any TV stuff. Like, the TV I really tend to be looking forward to hasn't premiered yet. I think looking at the Thursday stuff, I guess doing a quick Thursday recap. I mean, The Office continues to just be pointless.
Pretty terrible.
Was it the Taliban thing? Oh, it was so terrible.
And we're supposed to care about these two random guys.
I know, right, yeah.
I mean, sure, one of them is, you know, from Clark and Michael, the web series. Right. Yeah. Like, but still, like, I don't care.
Absolutely. So right now it's powering through like you're a Red Sox fan. You know,
Pretty much. Maybe you're about to just.
I was just saying, Parks and Rec. It was okay.
It wasn't the greatest second episode.
I don't know. It wasn't as fun. Like the first, like I'm on record saying, I really loved the premiere, and the second one was
Not as much.
So we'll see. Might be another season.
Yeah, there's another week.
Yeah.
Now, Dave, obviously Fringe is back, I'm at the very beginning of season 4, so. Spoiler free, was it a good return back for the final season?
So where you're starting now and where the show picks up, it's amazingly different. So I won't even say anything. But it's a good start. They kind of changed the game, and that's all I'll say. But
It seems like every season they change the game somehow.
You almost expect. You know, Seth MacFarlane to start writing. changes up things so much. So this one is definitely drastic, but a very cool season premiere. Only 13 episodes to wrap this up. I know you're gonna run through.
I've got to power through the fourth season because I think Hulu only has 3 episodes up at a time.
Okay.
I have whatever 3 weeks or whatever it is until the fourth episode airs, I'll have to watch the season premiere or else.
Bond movie.
I know. I am. So there's a giant countdown clock in my life.
It's worth it though. I will say it's worth it, and I'm glad that that's something you enjoy. I got Sons of Anarchy season 4 in the mail from my pal Eric, and I haven't watched it yet. And I hope you don't need soon.
I don't. You should send it back because I haven't written that review yet.
All right, so that's it.
I will say one thing about Sons, and you may have done this with season 3 because I know you reviewed season 3 on Blu-ray. Yeah. But season 4, they have something called like season mode.
Okay.
Which is great because it keeps track of where you are throughout the season. Yeah, and like automatically plays the extended episodes, so that's totally worth it.
I think FX does that with most of it. I think it did.
That's good. Yeah, this is the first FX Blu-ray I've reviewed. So
nice. All right, good. Let's stuff we got for the site coming up. Matt, go.
Just before we started recording, I finished up the last episode of the first season of American Horror Story, which was
Ryan Murphy, right?
Hugely hyped really from last
mixed
year.
Bag. That's a mixed bag show.
it's odd. I find myself, I guess I'll admit I enjoyed it. I kind of find myself drawn into it. Some of the decisions that the writers make are very odd. And
it sort of felt like I wanted to love it. I really did. But it just sort of felt like they were throwing stuff at the walls.
That's true, but you know, in the final third of the season, suddenly there's like so many characters and there's so many different stories to follow. It's just it gets too crazy for its own good.
Yeah.
And I'll argue that there is some positive points to it and some stuff that I really enjoy. I think it's a really good idea to have a haunted house story that's where kind of the ghosts and the spooky stuff are sort of parallel to the emotions that the people living in the house are having. I think it's a very smart way to go. Unlike something like, you know, The Haunting, where it's just like, you know, CGI. Also, Eric, this has that, what is it called, season mode as well. It wasn't working for me.
That's too bad.
I took out disc 2. I put in disc 3, expecting it to just pick up right at the next episode and skip all the trailers and menus and stuff. And my Blu-ray player kept thinking that it was disc 2 and kept pulling up the disc 2 menu.
Maybe that's exactly how American Horror Story is supposed to work. It's haunted. Yeah,
loop you through it.
Yeah, but I turned off the Blu-ray player, turned it back on again, and then it started up with the disc 3 menu, and I was able to watch the rest of the show. So maybe it's my player.
Your Blu-ray player was dead the whole time.
All right, Daryl.
Not a whole lot of great stuff, but well, one great thing. I'm reviewing Eating Raoul on Criterion's Blu-ray, one of my favorite comedies from the 80s, one of my favorite comedies of all time. Of course, it's about cannibalism, or has something to do with cannibalism, so how can it not be? But it's always been – it's Paul Bartels, who directed Death Wish – or not Death Wish, Death Race 2000 and a bunch of stuff for Corman. And this was his big thing that he wanted to do. It's been – for years, it was never available on DVD, and about 5 years ago, it came out on DVD in a full-frame garbage edition, and it was probably the saddest DVD moment of my life. And so Criterion releases it in probably their least classy release ever, maybe next to Armageddon. It's finally in widescreen. It's finally cleaned up. I'm seeing things that I never saw before in the movie, and it's brilliant. Cameos from John Landis, a whole bunch of different people are in it because they're all friends with Paul Bartels, who died like 10 years ago. Great commentary, some short films that the guy did. Just really a brilliant release of one of the best cult comedies ever made. So not a whole lot beyond that, but I can't express how excited I am to have Eating Raoul on Criterion Blu-ray.
All right. Now, are you the only person who would utter that statement, or is there a big subculture of Eating Raoul fans, you think?
There is a subculture of Eating Raoul fans. When I gave the crappy DVD to my brother to watch, he instantly said it was his favorite comedy of the 80s, and he's not a guy that would say that. It's like a classy John Waters movie.
All right.
I would recommend it to anybody. It's just, it's wild. Paul Bartels acts like everything he's written in this movie is Shakespeare. It's a hilarious, and very strange, ride through early 80s Los Angeles. And I recommend it to everybody.
All right. Nice. Eric.
This week I'm reviewing Moonrise Kingdom, the new Wes Anderson movie, which I never got a chance to see it in theaters, so this was a good get for me.
Very curious.
I liked it a lot. I need to watch it a second time, I think, because it's there's a lot in it. I think it's not necessarily typical Wes Anderson. There's a good amount of quirk. I mean, the visual style is clearly very meticulous shots, a lot of symmetry, all that kind of stuff. But I think in this case, the quirk, doesn't undermine the characters as it can do. I mean, I'm a big fan of his, but, you know, sometimes it's more about, sort of the feeling than it is about having believable characters. And this time, this is a really kind of sweet, love story between these two kids. and all these other kind of characters, these adults that are surrounding them who are kind of dealing with their own stuff. Bruce Willis is great in the movie. He plays like this the police chief or sheriff on the island in a very kind of subdued, kind of atypical role. He doesn't come across as an action star. He comes across as kind of a almost nerdy tough guy in a kind of weird way. Bill Murray is in it. He's married to Frances McDormand, and Edward Norton plays the scout commander. He's great. There's a lot of really really great performances and a lot of really kind of touching moments, all kind of framed using Wes Anderson style, which I think is one of the reasons why a lot of people who maybe don't love Wes Anderson are still enjoying the movie, because mm-hmm. it doesn't come across as quite as precious. There's still some, you know, wacky Wes Anderson touches, but it's good. I have to get back and do it again, because there's more to mine, I think, before I actually set my thoughts down. But I liked it so far.
It's good. Okay, for me, not much of interest, but just another British mystery series that I tend to have the market cornered on, I think, in DVD verdict. That and incoherent Japanese live action movies. But it's Wallander, Kenneth Branagh's detective series. It's the third series. There's three feature-length mysteries. It's adapted from a Swedish detective novel and a series of novels. I guess it's pretty well-regarded. These British shows tend to be dark, so we're not talking NCIS here, you know? I mean, LL Cool J is not doing one-liners. This is, it's like incest, cults, all kinds of craziness. So, it's compelling, it's atmospheric, and, you know, obviously Branagh's a pro, so, you know, he anchors the whole thing. So, definitely recommend it for, you know, mystery fans, BBC mystery fans, British mystery fans. It'll treat you nicely. So that is that. Mac, let's move onward and upward. What do you say?
Okay, we're going to take a look at what's coming out next week on DVD and Blu-ray. And if you want to play along at home, you can join us at DVDverdict.com. Click on the DVD releases tab, and there and scroll down and hit the cover art gallery for October 9th. There's actually quite a lot coming out next week.
E.T., huh? Is that a big one? Is that a big
Yes,
one?
That's E.T. Yeah, on Blu-ray. One, yeah. And that's the original theatrical version, not the...
Not the one with something was. What was edited out?
The walkie-talkies.
Yes.
Replacing guns. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
That's gone. We got the original E.T. on this Blu-ray.
All right.
We got Prometheus, which I really liked. I'm not going to say I loved it. I really liked it.
Probably the most divisive movie of the year, maybe, or the blockbuster movie of the year, you think? I mean, as far as just like people hating it, it seems like people either hated it or loved it. That's what I would say.
Yeah.
There's extremes on both ends, it seems.
I think there's a certain amount of misunderstanding as far as what it was supposed to be, that it's kind of a prequel to Alien, but not really. It's more of the Alien origin story, and I think that people were expecting some real connection to the Nostromo and all of that stuff, and they clearly didn't get that.
Gotcha.
But in and of itself, like the rest of the Alien movies, I think it stands alone as a really decent movie.
I think I need to see it again and from that viewpoint, because I kind of went into it thinking, you know, Alien, and instead I got all this, you know, sort of odd philosophical dialogue and this, you know, strange other world, and it was very different and not what I was expecting. There were scenes in it that I liked, especially some of the suspenseful stuff. The surgery scene was really intense.
The surgery scene's brutal, yeah.
Yeah, but I really need to see it again.
And I liked how the end calls back to Alien 4, Alien Resurrection, which wasn't the most popular of the four original movies. But it calls back directly to that, and I appreciated that. There's a lot of things that I appreciated about it. So,
yeah. Yeah, one of the big ones coming up. So.
That's great.
I do want to say, it seemed like Prometheus was sort of like the Super 8 of this summer, and that it was hyped beyond belief, and when it actually hit, some people really liked it, and some people
didn't get what they
were expecting out of it, and so it became sort of a divisive movie.
That's a pretty good.
That is my point.
Well stated.
I think that is well stated. Yes.
All right.
We'll submit that one for a PBA.
Right, dropping the mic. I'm out.
How about this weird double feature, Deep Rising and The Puppet Masters? I mean, I was just thinking about Deep Rising recently. I don't know why, because it's not a terribly memorable movie, except some terrible CGI at the end. Yes. When the monster shows up. And then the slow motion jet ski escape is pretty rough.
I remember Deep Rising. I do not remember the Puppet Masters. I remember Puppet Master. That is not this movie. So, I don't remember that one at all. You got Beatles Magical Mystery Tour for Beatles fans, which I'm not really.
Which was a semi-okay FX series. Laughed at I read the first season. I laughed here and there. So.
Yeah. One of my all-time favorite movies, a real funny, just outrageous comedy, Little Shop of Horrors. It's making its way to Blu-ray.
Oh yeah,
this,
there it is.
This is the director's cut too.
The remake.
I've been researching this online, and I'm really not sure what. Yeah, this is the remake. This is the musical from the 80s. Not the original Roger Corman, but I've been researching this online trying to figure out just what's on this disc. It's called a director's cut, but some people online are saying that it's the same movie.
I thought the whole thing was that there was a different ending.
There's an alternate ending that was going to be released on an earlier DVD, but then wasn't. And about half the people online now are saying that the alternate ending is on the Blu-ray, and the other half are saying that it isn't on the Blu-ray. So until
Amazon's
I get this
special feature listing says specifically that it does not contain the alternate ending.
But scroll down and read all those reviews, and you'll see people saying, no, it does have the alternate ending.
Yeah, wow. You never tell.
So I'm not really going to know what's on this disc until I've got it in my hands. But yeah. I love it.
Looks like this is actually the most divisive movie of the year. Little Shop of Horrors. And the movie actually that I just saw for the first time today, Whatever Happened to Baby Jane on Blu-ray.
Good movie.
It is. I wasn't quite sure what to expect from it. I watched it because in Stephen King in his book Dance Macabre put it on his list of favorite horror movies. And there are some like really weird psychological kind of thriller moments in it, but it's also kind of more of a drama in a lot of ways too.
If it were remade today,
someone's probably thinking about it.
Oh God. It's just like a scene chewing battle between Betty Davis and Joan Crawford.
Yeah, really.
I mean, like,
I
before it's all gone.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, if it were remade today, it would be this dark kind of like, there'd be really gruesome moments in it. There'd be really like over the top, like scares and stuff, but it's not presented that way at all. It's just really kind of, yeah, like I say, there's kind of this, not exactly a chess match, but it's just like this back and forth that goes to some weird places.
And right next to it is a show that I think NBC liked more than the Community, Whitney.
Oh, God.
Sure, why not? It's cheap, probably.
Nothing's better than Whitney Cummings. Yeah, we'd way rather watch that than Community. Way rather. Oh, yeah.
Now Eric, this Monster High, right? That was a movie. That was a far
not, movie. Not what you think about it. Yeah. This is not.
It's not the sequel that we've been.
No.
Watching.
Okay. No. This looks like it looks like Bratz.
Okay. Just double check.
It really does look like Bratz.
Because I've been waiting for a while. So
it's based on a series of kids' books that are really popular.
Okay.
Wow, boy. So some series of kids' books ripped off
Monster High.
That, like that B movie from the '80s.
That's right. All right. So in a really sweet sounding DVD release of the week, Mac.
I'll go back to Deep Rising.
Good.
That's good.
Good. This slim pickings, I think. Eric?
I'll go with Losing Control.
good.
Mac? No, not Mac.
I went already.
Sorry.
I'm going to go easy and just say Bones.
Oh, good.
Nice. That works.
You left a layup for me. Strangers on a Train. All right. Okay, Ambush Topics. This is how we send our podcast out. Random topics around each other. I'll go first so I don't forget it. Big Screen Tyrant whose rule may not be so terrible to live under. And it could be anyone with any kind of crazy world dominating plan.
Well, I'll just say that the people who were living under the Empire in Star Wars, really, they seemed okay with what was going on. I know we were looking at it from the rebel perspective.
Oh, good. Nice. You think we're not getting the full story. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, the Empire was really, they actually seemed like a pretty working government.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, the blue milk was flowing freely.
Yes.
Well, there was the whole, if you step out of line, we'll blow up your planet thing.
Yeah, that was kind of rough.
Okay, yeah, fair enough, fair enough. It's not perfect, but let it run.
It's really, it's just, I mean, that's just an intergalactic timeout. Really, it's just, it's basic techniques.
That's a firm, that's really with a firm hand.
Firm hand, absolutely. That's.
There's a lot of planets to rule. You got to lay down some laws.
I don't say it doesn't have to necessarily be a tyrant in power. It could be a villain looking to assume power. You know,
I'm not exactly sure how I'm gonna justify this, but I'm gonna go with Biff Tannen in Massachusetts. I don't know. I imagine the slots were pretty loose.
I guess so.
It's not that different from going to Vegas right now. You know, I mean. Maybe a few more bikers and a few more trash can fights.
The crime seemed a little bit out of control.
But I think as long as you stayed in the casino, you'd probably be fine.
Yeah, that's true.
Or either that or you move out of Hill Valley entirely. Yeah. Go somewhere else. I imagine if you kind of got outside the city limits.
That's probably really
fine. Just live somewhere close by and then you drive in the casino or something on your motorcycle and you're fine.
Let's see. For me, I guess I'll go with Caligula. Simply because
some people.
they knew how to party.
They did know how to party.
That's true.
Maybe if you're a horse.
Yeah. If you're a horse or Caligula's sister, then you're all good.
There you go.
Okay, mine is not quite as twisted. I was thinking with Zod, General Zod. Just because it seems like all he wants to do is to get power. And as far as I can tell, nothing else. Does he have any kind of plan at all? I mean, he's not looking to enslave anyone, or he's not having them build some kind of machine that transports them back to Krypton. He just wants to lounge in the president's chair, I think, right?
Can't really fault him for.
And just make sure everybody bows to him and asks. But beyond that,
as long as you kneel when he says,
as long as you kneel. Okay. I mean, they weren't torturing anyone. They threw a siren at some guy and blew him up. But that's because, you know, he ran away and he was, you know, insubordinate. But I don't know.
Gotta lay down laws.
It'd certainly be better than living under the cold grip of Nuclear Man, I would think. So, okay, Eric, what's yours?
All right. Hopefully this is easier than I think it might be. We'll find out. Okay. Different characters with the same name as each other.
Oh, boy. Anyway, in the same movie?
No. Just across... Whatever.
I know where you're going with this, Eric.
Oh, steal it.
You do?
Go for the steal, Matt.
Don't steal.
Go for the steal. Do it.
If you do it, I'm screwed.
Dude, go for the steal.
if you have inside information, you cannot.
McIntyre, go for the steal.
I'll let Eric have it.
Don't forget, Mac, I know your real name.
It's part of the ambush topic fund.
No.
Okay.
I got nothing. Crap, I have to do a little search.
Okay.
You guys talk. Just in case. Right. Back drops the bomb.
All right, so similarly named characters. Yes, characters the same name. That's where it's
same name.
I'm trying to get beyond more than just first names, you know?
I got one. Maybe this is a cheat, but the rock group Duran Duran is actually named after the big buff oiled up guy with wings from Barbarella.
Yeah. Yeah, the big villain in Barbarella is Duran.
All right, that's good.
I will that counts. I will absolutely give that to you.
Of course you will. Mac has a secret.
I got my secret.
You know it. How about Jack Bauer and Jack the Robin Williams character, right? With a developmental disability.
Imagine if they switched places.
That's right. Yeah.
I think it would go something like this.
Yes. So instead of the day, you know, when the day ends, Robin Williams Jack just dies. All eyes are on you.
All right, I'm going to go with Steve Austin from the $6 Million Man.
Oh, good.
And Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Well played.
I wonder if that's intentional. Did he name himself that after?
Well, I watched the Steve Austin reviewed the Steve Austin WWE biography, and he was complaining about it when the promoter gave him that name.
Well, because they had given him a bunch of names like Icy McFreeze and a bunch of other ridiculous things. I think the best option was pretty clearly Steve Austin. His real name's Steve Williams, and but there were a whole bunch of horrible ice related names that he was given the option for, and he took Stone Cold Steve Austin, which I think is really probably the smartest thing.
Wasn't Steve Austin the Crocodile Hunter too, or was that, what was his name? Steve Irwin.
That was Steve Irwin, yeah.
Oh, okay. Going
triple. The triple. No, that's not gonna happen. Never mind. Alright, well, I guess, is it my turn now?
Yeah.
Alright, so I guess Mac, you follow me on Twitter, so you saw. I was watching Troll, yesterday, and, I never realized this because I hadn't seen the movie forever, but like the father and son in that movie are both named Harry Potter.
Oh, very good.
So, yeah. Like, wow. I'm Harry Potter, and I'm Harry Potter Jr. And they just go around, and Harry Potter Jr. is talking to a witch and wants to learn how to be a wizard and all this stuff. It's like J.K. Rowling needs to watch her back, legally speaking. I'm sure someone involved in Troll is, I don't know, dead. I don't know. There's actually a lot of people in that movie. You got Sonny Bono as a swinger. You got June Lockhart swearing. It's pretty cool. Julia Louis-Dreyfus and Brad Hall.
Yeah, I'm a whole lot more accustomed to Troll 2. I should go back and watch the original Troll. Or, you know, Troll 2 doesn't have anything to do with Troll.
I would say
no, not at all. I mean, the first one's kind of, I mean, it's more like a fantasy movie, but it has that sort of fun 80s family feel. Even though it's not great, it's still, it's kind of sort of worth watching.
All right, Mac.
Okay, so Marvel Studios is in production right now, or at least pre-production, of a big, huge blockbuster movie based on Guardians of the Galaxy, of all things. Of all their properties, they're doing Guardians of the Galaxy. So I'm wondering, what other, like, obscure, forgotten fictional characters, not just comics, but from anywhere, what obscure, forgotten fictional characters would you like to see have a huge blockbuster film made of them?
Mm. All right, well, I will – okay. No, Daryl, please.
Oh, okay. Well, there's a comic by David Lapham called Stray Bullets that he never finished that is probably maybe my favorite comic ever. And it's a drama comic, you know, murder and junk. It's not a character, but I'd like to see all the characters actually put into a movie. That would probably be my comic movie dream. It won't happen, but a man can dream.
All right, I'm gonna go comics too. Actually, I'm gonna go to the Metal Men.
Oh yeah,
which is a comic. I know when I went through my initial comics buying phase, I bought a ton of like cheap back issues and stuff. For whatever reason, I came across this comic Metal Men, and maybe even a crossover or something. But Mac, if I remember correctly, this is a group of metal. I mean, they're metal men. There may be a woman in there, but they're all like basically robots. I don't know if they're robots. They're made of metal. They each have like a different. Like a molecular symbol or metallic symbol on their chest or something with it, that, right? Am I right? I don't know.
Yes. Yes, you are.
Okay. And they do stuff, don't they? This one stretch, I don't know. It's a comic book.
They've all got the liquid metal thing going on, so they all stretch and bend and, yeah, it's very lighthearted and campy. It's like, you know, the old Plastic Man type of stuff.
I was actually just about to say, now that I say that, I'd rather see a Plastic Man thing. Plastic Man is awesome.
Well, I'm going to go with a character that Mac and I discussed, Sleepwalker.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think he read like 5 comics. And I don't know, I bought his original one. I bought a couple after that, and that's about it. Basically a Marvel comic and some douchebag teenager. I can't remember. He gets in, like, some dream entity invades his brain, and when he ever goes to sleep, the Sleepwalker emerges, and he's able to fight crime. I can't remember his powers. He floats on, like, little... Like his fleet, like he floats around. He got little clouds on his feet, I think. But and he zaps people with an eye ray. I don't know what it does though. Like maybe it makes them brings their fears to life or something. I don't know. That's Ghost Rider. I don't know.
I remember his dog's name was Rambo.
Not bad. Yeah, that's good. That's more than I remember. So, but why I would want a big feature film made that I won't see, I don't know. But there you go.
Well, for me, I didn't go to comics for once. I went to video games. For the cockroach from Bad Mojo, the old CD-ROM game. This was a game where you actually played as a cockroach, moving through an incredibly filthy apartment complex, just germs everywhere, and you had like cockroach adventures where you avoided the spider, and you had to like use your little cockroach head to push a cigarette over to something to light something else on fire, and And it gets really tough in the later stages where you're in like the pesticide factory and stuff. It was really just incredibly disgusting, and the younger me loved that.
Nice. Tough one to pull off. Tough movie to pull off. Like, there's some real Kafka action in that.
Yes, lots of Kafka references.
Okay, Daryl, wrap us up.
All right, I'm going to go with something that is close to my heart, and that's ridiculous money-making schemes.
Oh, well, I'm going to jump in with Superman 3 before no one else does.
It's a good one.
Oh, yeah,
which was obviously later used to great effect in Office Space, but, yeah. You know, stealing fractions of pennies to buy expensive sports cars.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Well, even, I mean, that whole movie, even that idiot, whatever his name was, the bad guy's plan was lame, right? It's just
kind of the corner of the coffee market, right?
it was oil, but it was, he's pretty much, his whole plan is contingent on the fact that every single pilot of an oil tanker is legally blind. You know, because he guides them into the middle of the Atlantic. So there's like 20 of them, and he holds them hostage, right? So apparently he's just banking on no one noticing. There's like a big glut of oil tankers here. So, and then when one goes off course, Superman rips that open. And where was Kramer's bladder when we needed, the oil spill bladder? When
he only rips it open once he cares again.
That's right.
This takes a while.
But then how did the weather satellites make in the tornado? How did that fit into the plan?
I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know.
In subtle, non-heavy-handed ways.
Well, speaking of Superman 4, what was Lex Luthor's plan? Do we know? Or is it just general world domination? Did he have a specific...
In that one, I think it was to neutralize Superman through the tobacco business.
Wait, Superman 4.
Oh, in Superman 4. Three was the Richard Pryor one.
Yeah, three was the Richard Pryor one. That's where he gave him the
tobacco laced kryptonite.
the Marlboro kryptonite. Yeah, that's right.
Yes.
Superman 4 was Nuclear Man.
Nuclear Man. Yeah.
I don't know what Lex Luthor's endgame was. I guess it was just the
Nuclear Man. I think it wasn't very well thought out.
He wasn't making any money. The only money he was making was from Aquanet endorsements, I think. All right, well, I piggybacked on Eric's answer, so go ahead, Mac.
Oh, boy, I'm trying to think. There's got to be some good ones from the James Bond series.
Just think Saved by the Bell, and they should all come flowing to you.
You're the Saved by the Bell, actually. Something about a duck and an oil slick, and they all had fantasies about it.
Or how about passing Screech off as an alien to the National Enquirer?
Oh, man. This kind of goes back to the world domination one as well, or the tyrants. But a Pinky and the Brain, of course, had all kinds of money-making schemes that they would later use to rule the world, and such as they managed to get all the way to Fort Knox. They snuck into Fort Knox, but forgetting that they're just a couple of mice and gold is really heavy. And carrying the gold out of Fort Knox was not in the end game.
Ridiculous scheme. Just a real lack of foresight there.
All right, Daryl, what's yours? This is a good one.
Max thought of James Bond is the right one, and I'm going with Christopher Walken's scheme in A View to a Kill, one of the worst James Bond movies. Where he's going to destroy Silicon Valley by causing earthquakes around the San Andreas Fault.
That's right.
And destroy all of Silicon Valley so he's the only man making microchips.
That sucks pretty hard.
That sucks bad.
Although, as much as that movie does suck, I have a soft spot in it. I have a soft spot for that movie. You know, I think it's a mixture of a
License to Kill.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
That's low blow. I love 75-year-old Roger Moore swinging from a fire ladder and back over your projection screen.
It's really the worst.
Yeah, I love the blimp fight, the fire axe, the old guy, and I just love how Christopher Walken disposes of the people who wants investing in his plan. You know, here's the exit on this blimp. And the guy says, oh, okay. Yeah, slides off. Slides right away. Yeah. That movie's pretty terrible. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's the end of this Friday Filibuster. So, Eric, Mac, Daryl, thank you. FridayFilibuster@DVDBird.com is the email address. Mac, take us away.
Bad Mojo.